I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles to our scripture reading this morning, found in Matthew chapter 15. In a story about great faith. I say that on Jesus' authority. He is the one who commended this woman, a Canaanite woman, for her great faith. We are considering in this section of Matthew the four solas of the church. That's a Latin word that means alone, paired with scriptures, faith, Christ, and grace. We believe in the Bible alone over human tradition. We believe in faith alone. Salvation is by faith apart from works. And we believe in grace alone and Christ alone. And so today's lesson featuring this story of this woman is on faith alone. So let's read it beginning in verse 21 of Matthew 15. Hear now the word of God. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. May God bless to our hearts this reading of his word. It's interesting that a story about great faith features a Canaanite woman. She's a woman. In the culture present in this day, women were regarded as on a step below men when it came to spiritual kinds of issues. That's not the Bible's view, but that was the cultural view present in this day. Matthew seems to labor to overturn that view, actually. Remember how in his genealogy of the birth of Jesus, Jesus' ancestors, he deliberately chose four women who were Gentiles, as was this woman as well. The great example of faith here isn't what you would expect some expert in the Old Testament scriptures. They actually were the ones who missed Jesus and did not understand who he was and did not have faith. The one he chooses is a woman who is a Gentile, not just a Gentile, a Canaanite Gentile. The Canaanites were the ones, you remember, who were cast out of the land because of their great wickedness. They practiced such things as child sacrifice and cult prostitution. She was of that lineage. And yet, she becomes here a member of Matthew's Hall of Fame of faith, a woman of great faith. So Jesus and the disciples encounter her while they're on vacation. That's what they're doing here. They had withdrawn, it says, that's the word Matthew uses, they had withdrawn to Tyre and Sidon. Tyre and Sidon are about 30 miles north of Galilee, Gentile territory. Presumably they were thinking, we've got to get out of Israel in order to have a break from the incessant crowds who will not give us any rest, and we need rest. So they go to Tyre and Sidon for that purpose. But somehow this woman has heard of Jesus, and she sees him there, and she comes to him with this request. So we're going to look at her faith, and it's a faith worthy of our emulation. So it's a great faith. And one of the reasons it's great is because it's marked by great persistence on her part. A persistence born out of her desperation. Her desperation was due to the need of her daughter. She was demon-oppressed. We're not told of the outcome of that demon oppression in her life. There's an account two chapters later in Matthew 17 of another child who was demon-oppressed, and we do read there that the demons threw that young boy into the fire, alternately into the water. The attempt, clearly, was to destroy this young man's life. And probably it was the same with this young girl, the daughter of this Canaanite woman. And as a result, she was desperate. She's so desperate that she was willing to approach a group of men in a public setting. Now, that wouldn't be so remarkable in our day, but it was in this day, especially for a Gentile woman to approach a Jewish man. There was a strict sect of Pharisees in this day known as the bruised and bleeding Pharisees. And they were called that because every time they would see a woman in public, they would put their hands over their eyes and run into whatever was about. So hence, bleeding and bruised Pharisees. That was something of the culture of this day. But she approaches these men, and she approaches them crying out. And the verb used there is a word that means almost screaming, speaking, shouting loudly to them. And she's asking for mercy from Jesus on behalf of her daughter in her desperate need. And the verb is in a tense that indicates it was a repeated action. She doesn't just ask once. She keeps making this request. And one of the reasons it's repeated is because of Jesus' response to her. Quite curious. He ignores her. Imagine that. He doesn't even say, "No, I'm on vacation. I can't help you now." It's almost as if she doesn't exist in his mind. She's a non-person. Can you imagine that? I mean, who of us would respond, somebody coming to us asking for help, and we pretend that they're not even there? That's what Jesus did. The first ones to speak were actually her disciples. But their words are not very kind. "Send her away, Jesus." They're not concerned for her. They're concerned for themselves. Here's this woman who's approaching them on vacation, for crying out loud. This is exactly the kind of person they fled Israel in order to avoid. And they're wondering, "Jesus, why don't you get rid of this woman?" It's not entirely clear whether they want him to get rid of her by granting her request and sending her away, or just sending her away without granting her request. What is clear is that they don't want to be troubled with her any longer. So Jesus then speaks for the first time, and it's a little ambiguous who he's talking to, whether it's the woman, whether it's his disciples, or some say he was speaking to himself, but regardless of to whom he's speaking, here's what he says: "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Well, that's pretty clear. And no matter who he's talking to, she hears him. And it's not good news. It is a refusal, a clear refusal. I came for this group of people. You are not numbered among this group of people. Therefore, sorry, I'm not going to help you. After hearing that, she falls down in a posture of worship, and she says very simply a prayer, Lord, help me. Still, Jesus doesn't help. He gives her another negative answer, and this one even a little demeaning, if not insulting. It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. There's a status issue here. You've got children, and you've got the pets in the household. And the children have a higher status. You don't deprive children of bread in order to give it to the dogs, to the pets. And Jesus says, you're in the latter category. And then in an act and words that I think are full of bold faith, if not genius, she takes the words of Jesus and uses them against Jesus. And she says, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Jesus, you say I'm a dog? Okay, I'm a dog. But even dogs get crumbs. And Jesus hears those words, and they elicit the strongest possible commendation from him. Great is your faith. And he grants her request. Why the reluctance of Jesus here? I mean, normally, when someone approaches Jesus in this kind of humility, in this kind of faith, acknowledging him as not just Lord, but the Son of David, the Messiah. The greatest Bible scholars in Israel hadn't come to that point yet, and yet here this Canaanite woman had, and she comes to him with humility, with faith, and Jesus repeatedly turns her away. Why? I mean, faith is the key that opens all of God's blessings to us, but the key doesn't seem to be working here. Why not? Why the reluctance of Jesus? One commentator said that Frederick Bruner, who's one of my favorite Matthew commentators, he said that this is an example of Jesus learning through suffering, as Hebrews 5 says that he will. So Jesus had to learn that the gospel was for the Gentiles as well as the Jews. Now, I really like Bruner, but I think he's wrong about this one. And the reason is because this is not the first time Jesus has healed a Gentile. In Matthew chapter 8, there was a Roman centurion who came to him, who asked for help on behalf of his servant, and Jesus granted that request. What's more, Jesus' headquarters was in Galilee. Do you remember one of the names for Galilee back in Matthew 4? Galilee of the Gentiles. It was called Galilee of the Gentiles because it was in the northernmost reach of Israel, and a lot of Gentiles lived there. By some estimates, as much as 50% of the population of Galilee were Gentiles. And Jesus did a lot of miracles there, so it's highly unlikely that he had never healed a Gentile previous to this. I don't think that's the reason. You say, well, why then? Why is Jesus being reluctant here? And here's my answer. I don't know. I'm not sure. Here's what I do know, though. When we come to God, isn't our experience often similar to hers? I know it is. I know how many times you have been praying for some things from Jesus, and you've not yet received what you've been asking for. Hasn't that been the experience of us all? Where we come and we humbly ask, and it's as if Jesus is silent. He's ignoring us. What do you do? You do what this woman did. And this is what great faith does. It persists. It persists over against delay. It persists over against misbehaving disciples. You know, I mean, these disciples who just say, send her away, get rid of this pesky woman. You know, the church is often like that, quite honestly. And haven't we all known people who have written off God because of the poor behavior of Jesus' disciples? True faith doesn't do that. True faith perseveres and persists in the face of both delay and poorly behaved disciples. That was this woman's faith. Not only was it marked by great persistence, it's also marked by a great Jesus. I love her statement that elicits Jesus' commendation. Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. What does that reveal that she believed about Jesus? She believed that just a crumb from Jesus would be enough. Jesus is so great in her mind that she's okay with a crumb. It would be enough. Okay, Jesus, give me then a crumb. You know, she had no plan B. She only had a plan A, and it was Jesus. But she believed Jesus would be enough. That's faith. That's faith only in Jesus. That's why she kept coming. She believed in this great Jesus. And another thing I see in this statement from her is that she received the full word of Jesus. This is so important. If Jesus is great in your mind, and in order for you to believe, he has to be, then you will receive all the words from Jesus. And Jesus' words for her here were hard words. You're not part of the children, you're part of the pets. And she received that hard word. Okay, she said. Then give me the crumbs, and it'll be enough. You know, Jesus comes to us with hard words too, doesn't he? Just like her. I mean, the words she was longing to hear were those words that come at the end of the story. Be it unto you as you desire, your daughter is healed. And she heard those words, and she received those words. But before she received those words, she had to receive the harder words. It's the same with us in our faith. The hard words of repentance. The hard words of death to self. And maybe where you are right now, the delay you're experiencing in God's granting you what you're asking for are part of his plan to teach you to take up your cross and follow him and die to self. You see, we need to hear those words from Jesus because he's great. And if he's great, then his words are great. And we need to receive them all. That's a mark of having a great Jesus. And another part of this, let me remind you of the story in the Old Testament. There's a story about this, a great story, well known, about the commander-in-chief of the Syrian army, a man named Naaman. He was a leper. And there was a little Israelite slave girl in Syria who told Naaman, well, you know, there's a prophet in Israel who can heal such diseases as leprosy, Elisha. So Naaman goes to Israel in search of Elisha. Elisha hears that he's coming, and he won't even see him. He sends word, he sends a messenger to Naaman before Naaman gets to Elisha and tells him what to do. He says, wash in the Jordan River 7 times. And Naaman is offended. The Jordan River. We've got far superior rivers in Damascus than that lousy Jordan. I'm not going to do that. And in anger, he turns around and walks back to Syria until his servants stop him and say, what do you have to lose? Why not? It's what the prophet said do. Why don't you do it? So he does. Washes himself in the Jordan 7 times. He humbles himself to receive the hard word from God's prophet, the humbling word. And he's healed of his leprosy. That's what faith does. It receives all the words of Jesus. Is there some word from Jesus you're not willing to receive right now? You know, also, when we receive Jesus' words, it has an effect on our words. It reduces the quantity of our words. I love her prayer there in verse 25, and the spareness of her words. Lord, help me, is all she says. I think of that parable Jesus told about the tax collector and the sinner who go to the temple to worship. And Jesus tells us their prayers. So he starts with the prayer of the Pharisee. It's the Pharisee and the tax collector. He starts with the prayer of the Pharisee, and it's this long prayer. You know, he starts, well, I thank you, God, that I'm not like, and he names all these groups of people he's not like, full of self-righteousness, full of words. And then he ends his prayer by saying, I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. The tax collector's prayer is far more simple. Lord, have mercy on me, the sinner. And Jesus says it's the latter prayer that results in salvation, in justification. There is a spareness to our words. We stop just defending ourselves all the time, explaining ourselves. We just sit in silence, receiving the great words of Jesus because we believe him to be a great Jesus. The third mark of her great faith is great results. And her daughter, we read, was healed instantly. And this woman who would not shut up finally shuts up because she had received what she was seeking from Jesus. And she believed it. So she left. I wonder what her walk home was like. I'm sure it was a quick walk. An eager walk. I can't wait to see my daughter. And she walked into her house, and there sat her daughter. For the first time in I don't know how long, in her right mind, at peace, calm, with an untroubled spirit, no longer acting in a self-destructive manner. And how her heart must have thrilled. She had received the commendation of Jesus, and she had received the thing for which she had prayed to Jesus. You know, I notice here that it's her faith, the woman's faith, and her daughter benefits from it. Let me give you an application. Those of you who are parents with children who are wayward and wandering from the Lord, do not give up praying for your children. God can bless your children out of your faith. Persist. Keep in mind that you have a great Jesus. Keep coming to him, praying for them. And I think we need to remember, too, that this Jesus who gives these great results does the same for us. That all of his promises to us are true. There was a high school teacher in Nashville, taught at Christ Presbyterian Academy there, who was a beloved teacher in his school, his high school. His name's Ben Ellis. And he had terminal cancer, and he was in bed dying of cancer. The headmaster of his school decided that all of the kids, all the students in the school, together with all the teachers and staff, should go to his house for a worship service. There were over 400 of them. Of course, they couldn't fit in the house, so they stood outside. He opened his window of his bedroom, and they all just worshiped together. Somebody filmed it and posted it on YouTube, and it went viral. Millions of views. So that Good Morning America picked up on the story, and they featured this story in one of their episodes. And the story features a time when the headmaster of the school is by Ben Ellis's side after the students had worshiped and been singing to him. He was by Ben Ellis's side, and he asked him, "Is there anything you would like to say to your students?" And here was his answer. "Tell them it's all true." You see what he meant by that? Is that all the promises that we have in God's Word, they are all true. That there's everlasting joy for God's children. That there is no more pain, no more suffering, no more tears, no more death. It is all true. As that hymn says that we're going to sing at the close of this service, no chilling winds nor poisonous breath can reach that healthful shore. Sickness, sorrow, pain, and death are felt and feared no more. I am bound. I am bound. I am bound for the promised land. All the happily ever after fairy tales are true. The princess, our Cinderella gets her prince and she marries him. The beast is turned into royalty again when Beauty kisses him. The dragon is slain to kill no more and bring terror no more in the earth. It is all true. I like the way C.S. Lewis said that in his book, The Great Divorce. This is what mortals misunderstand. They say of temporal suffering, no future bliss can make up for it. Not knowing that heaven, he says, here's what they don't know, not knowing that heaven, once attained, will work backwards and turn even that agony into a glory. It is all true. For those who believe in Jesus, this great Savior of ours, the Lord, the Son of David, the Son of God, faith in him brings great results. Let's pray to him now. Lord Jesus, thank you that it is all true. We ask that you would grant us faith to believe these things. Help us by the power of your Spirit to persist in our prayers, to hear all of your words, your hard ones and your good ones, and to walk with Jesus by faith. We pray it in his name. Amen.